All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Let's begin with the Mishnah. Yesh, remember, still in the topic of Menachos. Interestingly enough, I mentioned this a few days ago, you know, we're 59 blot into Menachos. Yet, at the end of the day, we know very little about the actual carbon mincha itself. How the mincha is brought, what it's comprised of. So amazing enough, now as we begin to get into the sugyas, actually concerning what a carbon mincha is. So for now, instead of explaining it, we'll just learn. It says the Mishnah, Yesh tu'unos shemer levona. There are some minachos that require both shemen, so shemen is oil, and levona. Levona is frankincense. So there are other minachos, shemen velo levona. Some other minachos require shemen, but not levona. So other minachos, levona velo shemen. Other minachos require levona, frankincense, but not shemen. Other minachos, lo levona velo shemen. And other minachos still don't require either levona or shemen. So we'll say, so four different categories of minachos. Those that require shemen and levona, those that require shemen and not levona, those that require levona and not shemen, and those which require neither shemen nor levona. Which are which? Here we go. Says the Gemara, Minchas Hasolas, Vamachvas Vamarchashas. So we'll say, the Mishnah is dropping these terms, although each of these types of menachos are going to get their own Mishnah, are going to get their own Gemara, and we're going to get their own discussion. So for now, we're not really going to delve into the actual descriptions too much. Minchas Soles. Now this is just important for a moment. Look at Tap Rashi. Minchas Soles. Dimisnadev Minchastam. Sebo says, we're going to see there are many different types of menachos. Now the truth is, what we're going to see is there are different types of menachos, and there are also different circumstances which require different types of menachos. Let's say a person just says, Stam, I'm bringing a carbon mincha. Anadav, I'm bringing a carbon mincha. So what type of mincha do they bring if they do not qualify that statement? So Rashi says they bring what's called a minchas solas. The misnadev minchas, I'm reading Tap Rashi. If a person goes out and pledges just a plain mincha, so what's talacha? Maybe isaron solas v'shemen ulavona ubolala v'komza kimoshi chayo. So again, I will say, on an unqualified state, if a person just says, I'm bringing a carbon mincha, I will say, so that mincha is made from fine flour, shemen oil, levona, frankincense, you mix it all together, you take a kamitza of it, and ultimately you put it on the mizbeach. That's what's called a minchas solas, a plain old mincha. Next, back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So we'll say, if you have a minchas solas, machvas, different type of mincha, marcheshes, different type of mincha, chalos. And we'll say, and this is very interesting, chalos, literally loaves, vaharikikin, or wafers, Minchas Kohanim, so we'll say, we learned about already, Minchas Kohanim refers to what? Refers to the special mincha that a Kohen brings on the day of his Kohanic inauguration. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, that refers to what? To the Chavitin, right? That's the daily mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings. Minchas Oveit Kochavim, that is actually very interesting. An Oveit Kochavim, an Akum, has the ability to offer up a mincha. Now, obviously, the truth is, no person is offering up their carbon by themselves. It's being offered up by the Kohen. But a Kohen can offer up a carbon mincha on behalf of an Akum. Minchas Noshim. Rabbi said, a minchas Noshim is an interesting one. Rashi says, Isha shehisnadva mincha. This refers to a woman who pledged a mincha. Now, what's strange about this that they're trying to bring up is, okay, but a woman's mincha is no. We'll say mincha is gender neutral. In other words, that there's no difference between a man's mincha and a woman's mincha. So again, we'll get into this as well. Mincha saomer. We'll say mincha saomer. All of these cases ultimately, again, we'll say. So this is our first category. In all of these cases, the halacha is that the mincha. This is the category. Ve'ela tu'unos shemen ulavona. All of these type of menachos. We'll say this entire list that we just read are the types of menachos which require both oil, shemen, as well as levona, frankincense. Next case. Minchas Nesach, or next category, I should say. Minchas Nesachim. So let's remember again, Minchas Nesachim is a mincha which accompanies a wine libation. Tu'una shemen ve'in tu'una levona. Ultimately, again, so Minchas Nesachim, I will say, requires shemen, but doesn't require levona. All right? Lechem haponim. Then I will say, this is actually quite fascinating. Lechem haponim, so we know what lechem haponim is. It's the bread that's placed on the shulchan. What's fascinating about this is the Mishnah seems to indicate to us that lechem haponim has the status of a karban mincha, which is actually quite a dramatic idea that I don't think we would have thought of on our own. We know that it certainly has a sacrificial identity, but we often assume that it had a sacrificial identity unto itself, yet here it's reckoned in the mincha family. Good. So lechem haponim, ta'un levona, ve'in ta'un shemen. Lechem haponim also requires levona, but doesn't require shemen. Now remember again, for the lechem haponim, I will say, where was the levona placed? The levona was placed in two spoon-like items on the top of the shulchan. Remember, as opposed to these other menachos, where the levona or the shemen is mixed in this particular circumstance, the levona is placed on top, not mixed in. So lechem haponim, ta'un levona, ve'in ta'un shemen. Lechem haponim ultimately again requires levona, but doesn't require oil. Next, shtei halechem. So we'll say shtei halechem. Remember, we've spoken about this extensively over the last few days. That is the special offering that is brought on Shavuos. Uminchas chote. So we'll say minchas chote means a mincha that's brought in the context of a sin offering. Uminchas kinaos. We'll say we will spend more time speaking about this particular mincha. Minchas kinaos, we'll say, is the mincha of the sota. Remember again, the sota is the woman who is suspected of adultery. She brings a special type of karban mincha. These cases, Rabbi Osei, so again, these three cases of shtei halechem, minchas chote, minchas kenos, ein tu'unin lo shemen velo levona. We'll say in these particular circumstances, these last three do not require shemen or levona. Good. So we'll say, so therefore, again, the Mishnah gives us the examples of the four categories. Menachos, which require both shemen and levona. Menachos, which require neither shemen nor levona. Menachos, which require shemen and not levona. And menachos, which require levona and not shemen. Good. Says the Gemara. We'll say, here we go. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says as follows. Kol heicho disnan eser tinan. Rav Papa says, this is actually very interesting. He says, by the way, Rav Papa says, whenever the Mishnah speaks about categories of menachos, if you'll notice again, there are always 10 distinct categories of menachos, 10 different types of mincha offerings. Rashi says over here, kol heicha disnan, hanach menachos dimas nisin, eser tinan, kilomar kulon ba'us eser eser chalak, zir min avayla menachos. We'll say, listen to this. So therefore, whenever we go ahead and we speak about menachos, there are always 10 distinct categories. So the one says, okay, you know, what exactly are you coming to teach me? Lafuki med Rabbi Shimon. This comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Shimon. Because what does Rabbi Shimon say? Do'amar, mechza chalos, umechza rikikin, yavi. But Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, if you want to mix and match loaves and wafers as part of the same mincha, we'll get into more of the mechanics of this in terms of when you bring loaves and when you bring wafers. But for our purposes today, I will say there are certain menachos which require loaves, certain menachos which require wafers. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that if you want to mix and match loaves and wafers within the same mincha offering, that you have the ability to do that. Kamashmalon delo. Kamashmalon, Rav Papa says, no. There are 10 distinct categories of menachos, which Rabbi Shimon means what? What is Rav Papa teaching us? That each of those categories are distinct and unique unto themselves and cannot be mixed and matched one with the other. Good. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, now we're going to drill down into the specifics of this. It's actually very exciting. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, here we go. Gemara quotes the pasuk over here. V'nasata aleha shemen, v'samta aleha levona, mincha hi. You shall go ahead and you shall place on it shemen, you shall place on it levona. It is a mincha. Rabbi Osei, this is referring to the minchas ha'omer. Right? To the minchas ha'omer. To the mincha that comes with the karban ha'omer. Good. So Rabbi Osei, it says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. V'nasata aleha shemen. I'm sorry. Tan Rabbanan. V'nasata aleha shemen. So Rabbi Osei, we're talking about the minchas ha'omer. So watch this. The Torah says that what? You shall place shemen on it. So we'll say, whenever you see that word, Venasata Aleha Shemen, so you know, we've been through Gemara enough to know that, what is the Gemara going to do? Venasata Aleha Shemen, to teach me what? It's Aleha Dafka on this and what? Not on something else. So now the Shaila is, so the Venasata Aleha Shemen, Velo Alechem Hapanim. Velo Alechem Hapanim Shemen. Teacher will say that I put Shemen, I put oil, ultimately again on the Minchas Omer, but not on the Lechem Hapanim. So the Gemara says, now why would I have thought otherwise? Watch this. Sheyachol, because I would have thought, V'halo Dinhu, because well, so I could have made a Kavachomer, although it's not a literal Kavachomer. In other words, I could have made a logical argument that what? Uma Minchas Nisochin She'ena Tu'una Levona Tu'una Shemen. When it comes to a minchas nesachim, which I will say is the mincha which require, which accompanies a wine libation, she'ina tu'una levona. So a minchas nesachim doesn't require levona, yet tu'una shem, bless you, yet does require shemen. Lechem hapanim she'ta'un levona. So we'll say therefore lechem hapanim, which does require levona, eino din she'ta'un shemen. Certainly, it should require shemen as well. Therefore, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk comes along and says what? Aleha, that is dafka aleha shemen velo alechem hapanim shemen. Therefore, we'll say the first lean what is aleha by the minchas haomer to teach me that it is the minchas haomer which requires shemen, but not the lechem hapanim. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'samta aleha levona. So furthermore, again, the pasuk says, again, by the minchas ha'omer, and you shall place on it levona, aleha levona, velo al minchas nesochim levona. We'll say, what does this teach me? I go ahead and I place levona, the frankincense, on the minchas ha'omer, but I do not place levona on the minchas nesochim. Now, we'll say, why would I have thought otherwise? Sheyacho v'halo dinhu, I could have made the logical argument, uma lechem haponim, she'eno ta'un shemen, ta'un levona. But we'll say by lechem upon him, which doesn't require shemen, doesn't require oil, yet you do place lavona on it. Minchas nesachim she'tu'una shemen, eino din she'tu'una lavona. Then certainly minchas nesachim, which does require shemen, certainly it should require lavona as well. Talmud lomar, aleha. Therefore we'll say the pasuk says, aleha, aleha lavona, it's the minchas ha'omer which requires lavona, velo al minchas nesachim lavona. But you don't require lavona ultimately on the minchas nesachim. Okay, mincha. So we'll say, here's what's interesting, is you're going to see all of these limudim about shemen and lavona are going to be learned out from this one pasuk by mincha somer, which is really quite interesting. Mincha, so furthermore, again, remember the pasuk says, v'nasata aleha shemen, v'samta aleha lavona mincha hi, says dafka, again, it's a mincha. Remember, we'll say, this is the pasuk specifically by the mincha somer. So mincha, when the pasuk says mincha, what does that come to include? L'rabos minchas shmini l'levona. This is actually very interesting. It comes to include the minchas shmini. What's the minchas shmini? That was the special mincha that was brought on the Yom HaShmini, the day that the Mishkan was inaugurated. Okay? So that mincha also required levona. He, what about the word he? Because it says mincha he. He is usually an exclusionary word. Lahotzi shtei halechem shelo yita'enu. Shelo yita'enu lo shemen velo levona. So that comes to exclude the case of shtei halechem. That shtei halechem does not require shemen, nor do they require levona. Amar mar. We'll say another liwud. Amar mar says the Gemara, aleha shemen velo alechem haponim shemen. Furthermore, again, the pasuk says, Allah Shemen, you shall go out and you shall place Shemen on what? On the Minchas Omer, but not on the Lechem HaPanim. So the Gemara says, Lo Lechem HaPanim Shemen, Eima Allah Shemen, Velo Al Minchas Kohanim Shemen. Now, both say, see, here's what I know. I know that the word Aleha comes as obviously telling me that I put oil on the Minchas Omer, and it's telling me that I don't put oil on something else. So the Gemara says, the something else is what? The something else is Aleha Shemen v'lo alechem haponim shemen. To teach me, I put shemen, I put oil on the minchas ha'omer, but I don't put it on the lechem haponim. Says the Gemara, I don't know, how do you know that it means to tell you don't put on lechem haponim? Maybe, Eima Aleha Shemen v'lo al minchas kohanim shemen. But we'll say, maybe the Aleha is coming to exclude what? Minchas Kohanim, that the mincha that a Kohen brings, the chavitin that a regular Kohen brings on the day of his inauguration, we're saying maybe that mincha doesn't get shemen. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it doesn't work. Mistabra, minchas Kohanim havilei l'ribuye. See, I would say the opposite. It makes sense to include minchas Kohanim in the obligation of shemen. Why? Because ultimately the minchas Kohanim resembles the minchas haomer in the following ways. Shekein isaro, because we'll say, number one, it's an isaron of flour, meaning they're both in it. These are the similarities we'll say between the minchas Kohanim and the minchas haomer. Number one, isaron. Number two, kli. We'll say it requires a kli. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second to last on the short lines of Rashi. Kli, Rashi says, kala menachos tu'unos kli lalush. We'll say all menachos, well, not, we'll see, it's not really all menachos. Ultimately, again, require a utensil in order to go ahead and knead them. Beperek shtei alechem, shalu es Rabbi Zuminayin, avalechem aponim, eno nikdash ela betanur. We'll say, again, just so you don't, we don't lose sight of what we're doing over here. We're bringing the pasuk, or we're bringing the word alecha from the pasuk of Minchas Omer. To teach me, Minchas HaOmer ultimately again requires shemen. Teach it, but it's coming to exclude something. What is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara posits it's coming to exclude what? Lechem Aponim. Right? Lechem Aponim. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that it's not coming to exclude what? Minchas Kohanim from shemen. To which the Gemara says, because Minchas Kohanim resembles Minchas HaOmer in more ways than Minchas Kohanim does. How does Minchas HaOmer, that Minchas Kohanim resembles Minchas HaOmer in more ways than Lechem HaPanim resembles Minchas HaOmer. How does Minchas Kohanim resemble Minchas HaOmer? Number one, Isaron, they're both in Isarna flour. Number two, they both require kneading in a kli, right? As opposed to lechem aponim, which is sanctified when it's put into the oven. Next, chutz. They're both made in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Vitzura. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is the first wide line. Chutz, kol ha-menachos avodasan b'chutz. All menachos, we'll say, literally, their avodah is b'chutz. Now, b'chutz over here in this context means in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Ava lechem aponim siduro beheichol. Interestingly enough, the lechem aponim, remember again, the avodah of lechem aponim is placing it on the shulchan. The shulchan is inside the heichol. Va'odakon, if so, fine. Next, vitzura. We'll say tzura means that ultimately it becomes pasul with lina. If you go ahead and you leave a minchas kohanim overnight, ultimately, again, it becomes possible with lina. Lechem aparim doesn't have a psul of lina. V'haraya, how do we know that it doesn't have a psul of lina? It's kept on the table the entire week. Hagasha, ultimately, again, both the minchas kohanim and minchas omer have an obligation of bringing close to the mizbeach. V'ishim, and they are placed on the fire. So because minchas haomer, shares all of the, or I should say, because minchas kohanim shares all of these similarities with minchas haomer, it makes sense that it would have an oil obligation. And therefore, if the pasuk is coming to exclude something from the oil obligation, it makes more sense to say that it's what? That it's the lechem aponim. Adrabo, I could say the following. Lechem aponim havilei derebuye. I could say, no, lechem aponim resembles the minchas haomer, and therefore should have an oil obligation. Why? Because it shares the following similarities with the minchas haomer. Number one, shekein, sibura, they're both communal offerings. Chova, they're both obligatory. Tamyo, you bring them both in a state of tumah. Da'achil, you eat them both. Pigula, they're both subject to pigul. Bishabsa, and they're doches shabbos. So what I say, the Gemara says, these are all the similarities that Lechem HaPanim shares with Minchas HaOmer. So maybe in fact what? Maybe in fact, the Pasuk is coming to teach me that indeed, like Minchas HaOmer, Lechem HaPanim has an oil obligation as well. So if that's the case, what is the Pasuk coming to exclude? The Pasuk is coming to exclude what? Coming to exclude Minchas Kohanim from the obligation of Shemen. To which the Gemara says, no, Mistabra Nefesh. We'll say, to which the Gemara says as follows. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, it's the fifth to last line in Rashi. Mistabra Minchas Kohanim Havilei L'Rebuye, that's the Divrei Masan Rashi. Mepnei Sheba Mincha Ksiv Nefesh. We'll say, by the Mincha, it says Nefesh. By Pekar Mincha, it uses the Lashon of Nefesh. L'madnu D'chol Minchas Yochid Tu'una Shemen. So we'll say, from the word nefesh, what we learn is that it is only ultimately against something that is a karban yochid, an individual offering, that has the real status of mincha, and by extension, therefore, has the shemen obligation. So therefore, I was like, going back for just a moment, by mincha sa'omer, so we're learning out that there's an obligation from shemen. We're also learning out that there are other things which are excluded from shemen. So therefore, the Gemara says, really, the obligation of shemen applies to things that are really called the mincha. What's the true definition of something that's called a mincha? Something that is really an individual offering. Therefore, again, I will say that would seem to include what? That would seem to include minchas kohanim, which is an individual offering, and would exclude lechem hapanim, which is a communal offering, from the obligation of shemen. Good. So we'll say good. Beautiful. So the Gemara goes right there. Amar mar, aleha lavona. So we're going back now and analyzing the braisa some more. So aleha lavona, v'la minchas nesachem lavona. So remember again, the pasuk said, you shall place on it. Again, referring to the, again, I'll say what's amazing is all this is being learned out from one pasuk by Minchas Omer. So aleha lavona, you shall place lavona on the Minchas Omer, v'la minchas nesachim, but you don't go ahead and place lavona on the minchas nesachim, which is the mincha which accompanies the wine libation. So the Gemara says, ema, aleha lavona, v'la minchas kohanim lavona. Why don't you say that that the pasuk teaches me I have to place, lavona on the minchas nesachim, but not on what? V'lo on minchas kohanim. Maybe he's come to exclude minchas kohanim from the obligation of lavona. To which the Gemara says, no. Mistabra minchas kohanim havdei l'rebuye. It makes more sense to include minchas kohanim in the lavona obligation. I'll tell you why. Shekein, because I will say, minchas kohanim shares the following characteristics with minchas ha'omer, which are isaron, right? They both come from an isaron. Balul, they are both mixed together. Bilug, both use a lug of oil. Mugash, both are brought close to the Mizbeach. Biglal Etzem, and both are brought on their own. Adirabba, the Gemara says just the opposite. Minchas Nesachim Havnei L'Rebuye. I can say ultimately again that Minchas Nesachim should be learned out from the Pasuk of Minchas Omer for the Lavona obligation. Shekein, Sibura, they're both communal obligations. Chova, and they're both obligatory. Ve'itmi, you bring them both in a state of tumah. B'shapsa, and they're both docha Shabbos. To which Shabbos said, the Gemara gives the same answer. Mistabra nefesh. It makes more sense to include that which is an individual obligation and not that which is a communal obligation. Beautiful. Mincha l'rabos minchas shmini. So l'lavona. So remembering the word mincha, we're just dissecting the braisa, comes to include the mincha that was brought to the Yom HaShmini, the inauguration day, for that you have to put lavona on it as well. Ve'ima l'hotzi. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. How do you know that? Maybe mincha actually comes to exclude the minchas shmini from the lavona obligation. To which the Gemara says, hi mai. Shapir. That's the way it doesn't make sense. If you want to learn it out as a reboy, that makes sense. But if you want to say to exclude the minchas shmini from the lavona obligation, then I will say, guess what? You don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Ultimately, they're going to both say, generally, you can't learn out what we'll call, not momentary, but one-time karbanos from ongoing karbanos. In other words, I will say that in karbanic law, we have two different types of halachas. Namely, again, one-time or unique offerings and ongoing offerings. So in general, Gemara will say we don't learn out halacha l'mais, halachos concerning one-time offerings from long-term offerings. So therefore, I don't need a special limud to go ahead and say that the mincha of the Yom HaShmini would have been exempt from Lavona, because we'll say that in fact would have been my default position. Therefore, if there is a limud, the limud is coming to teach me the opposite, then in fact the mincha of the Yom HaShmini is in fact obligated in Lavona. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. He lahotzi shtei halechem shelo yita enu lo shemen v'lo lavona. So we'll remember again what was the next part of the brisa. The pasuk by again all by minchas haomer. All by minchas haomer said mincha he that it is a mincha. What did that come to include or what did that come to exclude? That came to teach me minchas haomer We'll say we're now on Nun Testament Aleph 59a, three lines up from the bottom, right at the two dots. So we'll say, what does Hey come to teach me? It comes to teach me that it is only a Minchas HaOmer, it is a Minchas HaOmer, which is obligated in Shemen and Levona, but the Shtei HaLechem doesn't get Shemen or Levona. Neither Shemen nor Levona by the Shtei HaLechem. To which the Gemara says, Ve'ima lohotzi Minchas Kohanim. I don't understand. How do you know that he comes to exclude Lechem Haponin from Shemen and Levona? Maybe it comes to exclude what? The Minchas Kohanim. I'd say that the Minchas Kohanim doesn't require Shemen or Levona. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, Mistabra Minchas Kohanim Havilei L'Rebuye. It makes sense to say that the Minchas Kohanim is subject to the obligation of Shemen and Levona. Why? Shekein Kazosai, because Minchas Kohanim shares the following qualities with Minchas HaOmer, which are Yisaron, both require an Yisaron of flour, Kli, both require utensil, Matzah, both come as Matzah, Etzem, both come on their own, Hagosha, not as an accompaniment, Hagosha, both are brought close to the Mizbeach, V'ishim, and both are actually offered up on the fires. Therefore, I will say, because ultimately, again, Minchas Kohanim shares all of these qualities with Minchas HaOmer, it makes sense to say that just as Minchas HaOmer requires Shemen and Levona, so too Minchas Kohanim requires Shemen and Levona. And if the Pasuk is coming to exclude something, what is it coming to exclude? It must come to exclude Lechem HaPanim. Shtei Lechem. Shtei Lechem, I will say, the offering by Shavuos. Adrava, I can say just the opposite. Amud Beis. Shtei HaLechem HaVilei L'Rebuyeh. We'll say, I could say Shtei HaLechem ultimately again should be included in the Shemen and Levona obligation. Why? Shekein Tzibur, because we'll say Shtei HaLechem has the following qualities. Number one, I should say, shares the following qualities with Karban HaOmer, which is the Minchas HaOmer, which is Tzibur, they're both communal obligations. Chova, they're both obligatory. Tamya, they're both brought even in a state of Tumah. Da'achal, they're both consumed. Pigula, they're both subject to pigul. Bishapsa, and ultimately again, they're both offered their docha Shabbos. Matir, they both permit something. Tenufa, they both have to be waived. Ba'aretz, they will say, Rashi says over here, Ba'aretz means Omer Ushtei Alechem Ein Ba'in Ela Mitvuas Eretz Yisrael. They both have to come from produce of Eretz Yisrael. Bizman, ultimately again, they have a specific time. Chodosh, must both come ultimately again from the new crop. To which the Gemara says, V'hani nefishin. And what do you see? You see, in fact, that the similarities between what? Between the Shtei HaLechem and the Omer are clearly much more than what? Than the similarities between Minchas Kohanim and Minchas HaOmer. To which the Gemara says, Mistabra nefesh. So also we keep giving the same answer. That Mistabra nefesh also says the same answer, which says what? That because we're learning out the halachos concerning menachos, so the paradigmatic case of a mincha is when it is a karban yachid, when it is an individual offering. Therefore, again, I will say, when trying to learn out which types of menachos are ultimately subject to the Shemen and Levona obligation, we prefer to go ahead and include the types of menachos which are individual offerings because of the word nefesh, that word used in the pasuk in the context of mincha, and not to focus on the other karbonos which are communal offerings. Therefore, again, I will say, in this particular case, even though, again, Shtei HaLechem has many more similarities to the Minchas HaOmer than Minchas Kohanim does, but because Minchas Kohanim is considered to be a Karban Yochid, it satisfies the Nefesh criteria, and therefore it is learned out from Minchas HaOmer to be obligated in both Shemen and Levona. Good. So we'll say, so let's go weiter. Says the Mishnah. So we'll say, so this actually is very interesting as well. Continuing on the Shemen and Levona obligation. Here we go. V'chayiv al Hashem b'fnei atzmo, v'chayiv al Levona b'fnei atzmo. So we'll say, here we go. Rashi says over here, v'chayiv al Shemen im nasno al minchas chodesh. Remember again, in the previous Mishnah, so we discussed the idea that there are certain minchos which get neither Shemen nor Levona. That was our last category of menachos. That was the Minchas Chote, the Minchas Kenos. So again, the Mincha that's brought as a sin offering, the Mincha that's brought by the Sota, they do not require Shemen, nor do they require Lavona. So now the Mishnah deals with a very specific case. Let's say I went ahead and I placed Shemen or Lavona, let's say on the Minchas Chote. It doesn't belong there, and I placed it there. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? So v'chayiv al Hashem b'fnei atzmo, v'chayiv al Lavona b'fnei atzmo. I am chayiv ultimately again for placing Shemen on the Minchas Chote, and chayiv for placing Lavona. Now, Rabbi Osai, what this means is as follows, that halacha l'maaseh, if I place them both, I'm in violation of two different things. Don't think that Shemen and Lavona is one big thing. If I place Shemen on a Mincha where it doesn't belong, I'm Chayiv for that. If I place Lavona on a Mincha where it doesn't belong, I'm Chayiv for that. To which the Gemara says, Nasan ala Shemen Pasla. The Rabbah says, if you place Shemen on the Mincha, so it invalidates the Mincha. Lavona, if you place frankincense on the Mincha, then what's the halacha? Yilaktena. But say yilaktena means what? You just have to scoop it off. Now the truth is, I actually meant to put this out on the WhatsApp. So frankincense comes from trees. And I will say the way it is in nature is, it's like larger chunks. So the idea over here is when you place, now we'll discuss, you could grind it up. So the idea over here, the Mishnah says, is if you place oil on your mincha, you're out. Meaning, let me say it differently. If you place oil on a mincha where the mincha didn't require oil, essentially there's no way to rectify that, and therefore again the mincha is pasul. If you put frankincense on the mincha, yilaktena, you could just scoop it off, and the mincha could be fine. Nasan shemen al shiareha. We'll say what happens if you put oil in the shirayim of the mincha. Then what's the halacha? Eino over below sasen. I will say, this is actually a very interesting formulation over here. Remember, shirayim is the part of the mincha that the kohen gets to eat after the kometz has been offered up. So it says if you place oil on the shirayim, you're not over on a low sasen, you're not over on prohibition. I will say, now why is this strange? Because we often assume, what could the kohen do with the shirayim? Anything he wants. There's one exception, which is chametz. You can't allow it to become chametz, but even so, you could mix in dvash. We already saw. So we'll say, so bepashos, what this means is, it's just trying to keep symmetry. We just said before that halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and what? If you go ahead and you place shemen on a mincha that you're not supposed to place it on, so ultimately it passes the mincha, so it's just using symmetrical lashon. If you place shemen on the shirayim, it doesn't invalidate the shirayim. But I will say, it's actually totally permitted to place shemen on the shirayim, because one can prepare it however he wants. Next, nasan kliya gabe kli lo pas. What's another interesting case? If you took the kli that has the mincha in it, and you placed a kli of oil on top of that mincha kli, it does not go ahead and invalidate the mincha. The Rabbah say, now this is interesting what the hava mean in this case. So we're going to see in the Gemara. But again, in this case, the oil is not actively touching the mincha. The two kalim, the utensils, are touching. The kli which has the mincha is sitting below, right? Or I should say, the kli that has the oil is put on top of the kli that has the mincha. The Mishnah just tells me that doesn't invalidate the mincha. Good. Here we go. So both say the pasuk says, you shall not place upon it shemen. Both say, so this is talking about the minchas chote. This is if a person committed a particular type of aveira, he doesn't have the money to go ahead and bring even a bird offering. So what's the halacha? He brings what's called the minchas chote. The halacha on the minchas chote is you don't place shemen, nor do you place lavona on this mincha. Lo yasim ala shemen v'im sam. And if you placed shemen on your minchas chote, then what's the halacha? Pasul. The minchas pasul. Bring another mincha. Yochol lo yitin ala lavona v'im nasan pasul. So we'll say, I might have thought as follows. The pasuk also says you're not supposed to put lavona on it. I would have thought that if I put lavona, that the mincha should be pasul as well. Tamud lomar ki chatos. Both is actually very interesting. The way the pasuk reads, Rabbi Osei, is lo yosim ala shemen velo yitein aleha levona ki chatos hi. The Gemara darshens this pasuk in an incredible way. Lo yosim ala shemen, you can't place shemen on your minchas chote, and if you place shemen on your minchas chote, Rabbi Osei, then what? Then what? Then what? Yo. It's pasul. Lo yosim ala lavona. You also can't place lavona on your minchas chote. But if you did, ki chatasi, it's still okay. It's still okay. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Yochol af b'shemen. So I might have thought that even if I place shemen on the chatas, b'di'evet, it's still okay. Talmud lomar hi. Therefore we'll say, he comes to teach me that it's only if the lavona is there that the mincha could still be good. But once you place shemen on the mincha, you're out. So we'll say, so umarois lifso b'shemen l'achshu lavona. So we'll say, I don't understand. A minchas chote is not allowed to have shemen or lavona. Yet, what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? If you placed shemen on it, then what? Mincha's done, puzzle. If you placed lavona on it, so the mincha is not puzzle. What's the difference between them? Posel ani b'shemen, she efshar lelakto. Umach shani b'lavona, she efshar lelokto. Rabbi Osai, it's a very simple cheshbon. Once you pour shemen into the mincha, you cannot go ahead and extract it. So because you can't extract it, therefore what? The mincha is pasul. Masha'enkin lavona can be collected off the mincha. So obviously I can't offer up the mincha schote while the lavona is still on it or in it, but once I go ahead and collect the lavona off of the carbon mincha, off of the mincha schote, I could offer up that mincha schote again. So boy, you're supposed to listen to this. We'll say this is amazing. Listen to this case. Nasan alah lavona shechuka mahu. Oh, see, we'll say this is all assuming that lavona that's placed on the minchas chote is what I will say. Chunky, right? It's got to be a better word than chunky.
Whole.
We'll call it whole lavona. Whole lavona. What happens if you went ahead and you place on a ground lavona? Red ground lavona, powder lavona. So we'll say if you go and you place in there powder lavona, so we'll say, so what's the halacha? That's the lavona shkuka mahu. So we'll say, listen to this. So what's the kasha? On one hand, mishum da efshar lelokta, vaha lo efshar lelokta. We'll say, on one hand, the reason we said that the placement of lavona doesn't invalidate the karban mincha is why? Because it can be collected off the top. But if it's granular, right? If it's ground up with the powder, then once that's introduced into the mincha, then what? It cannot be totally collected. Oh, Dilma, mishum dolo mivla, vaha nami lo mivla. Also, maybe the other reason is because apparently the properties of frankincense are such that they're never truly absorbed into the mincha, and therefore, again, even in the granular state, they'll never be fully absorbed into the mincha, and therefore, ultimately, the mincha should still be good. So Tashmas, we'll say it's an interesting kasha. So Tashmas, let's analyze this. Tashma, so the Gemara says, Ulavoni elaktena. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, and if you accidentally place lavona on the minchas chote, what's talacha? Yelaktena. We'll say, yelaktena means what? Means what? Collect it. Which tells me what? Tells me that the halacha is that the only way to remedy the karban mincha is to actually get the lavona out. Which tells me, therefore, if the lavona cannot be extracted, then what? What's the halacha? The karban mincha will be pasul. To which the Gemara says, Dilma chada va'od kamar. We'll say maybe ultimately what it's saying is, in reality, chada va'od kamar means that really, ideally, you should try to go ahead and get it off. But even if you can't go ahead and collect it from the karban mincha, nevertheless the mincha will be kosher. Because why? Because the mincha doesn't really absorb the frankincense. So therefore the Gemara is not a raya. Tashma. Mach shani b'levona. So the halacha is, I say the karban mincha, the mincha schote, is still kosher, even if you accidentally put levona on it. Why? She'ef shalalokta. Because you could always go ahead and collect the lavona from the mincha. Which most again seems to indicate to me what? That in order for the mincha's chote to be kasher, the lavona has to be actively extracted. Therefore, if it's granular, or if it's powder, and cannot be actively extracted, the mincha will not be good. Hachanami chada va'od kamar. We'll say there again, maybe it's saying one of two reasons. In other words, really, the lavona never gets absorbed in the mincha. Therefore, even if you can't extract it, the mincha will still be kasher. But even furthermore, the mincha will still be good because in this case, you can't extract it. So my havi'ala. So Gemara says, okay, so Nu, what's the answer? So bottom line, we'll say, if you have powder lavona and it falls into the mincha, is the mincha good or not? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tanya, we learned in a brayso, minchas chote, minchas kenosh, nasan lavona. You have a minchas choti and minchas kenos. We'll say minchas choti, remember, is the mincha that's brought as a sin offering. Minchas kenos, we'll say, is the sotas mincha. Shenasan ala lavona, and you placed lavona on it. Milakit es ha lavona ukshira. So what can you do? We'll say, if you accidentally put, by the way, accidentally or intentionally, doesn't really matter. If you put lavona on the mincha will be kosher, provided that what? Provided that what? You collect off the lavona ukshira. So now watch this. I have a minchas chotei. So I'm bringing a sin offering. I'm bringing a minchas sin offering. I accidentally put lavona on there. Is the mincha pasul? No. Right? But what? What do I have to do? I have to remove the lavona. Now watch this. This is fascinating. Let's say my minchas chotei is sitting there. The lavona is still sitting there on top. We'll say, now I have what? I have a machshavas psul. I have in mind to what? To either go ahead and consume it outside of the correct time or outside of the correct place. What's the halacha? Pasul ve'in bo kares. So we'll say, so the halacha is, my invalidating thought has the ability to pasul the carbon, but there's no chiyuv kares. But ve'in mishelikeit levonta, but we'll say, once the lavona has been collected off the top of the mincha, nechashev aleha chutzlim komo, pasul ve'in bokaris. If I have in mind to go ahead and consume it outside of the prescribed area, so the mincha is pasul, and there's no din karis. That's the din of chutzlim komo. Chutzlis mano, pigul ve'chayovin aleha karis. But we'll say, if I have in mind to what? If I have in mind to go ahead and eat it chutzlis mano, then that's pigul, and ultimately again, there will be a chi of karis. I was saying, I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Mishalikate levonta, chazal echshera, v'chayva lepigal. I'll say, what do you see from this case? Once you remove the levona, we'll say, what happens? So the mincha returns back to its regular state, which means that if I have a machsheves pigol, I'm mamish chayv kares. I will say, for our purposes, what do we learn from this? That it's only returned to its actual state when the levona is actively removed from it, which tells me that it is only if the lavona can be removed that the mincha is restored to its kosher status. But if the lavona cannot be removed, then unfortunately the mincha is pasul. Therefore, in the case where the lavona, the frankincense, was powder, was granular, and gets mixed in with the mincha, where it cannot be extracted, ultimately the mincha will be pasul. I vitehevi pach. So the Gemara says, but why is this in the case of the pach? Also, what's the case of the pach? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vitehevi pach. Hach mincha ba'ocha levona besocha tehei kilu nafala pach shemen telo havye chazya velo tech lemashav zazon. Now the Gemara asks as follows. This actually is amazing. See, we'll say, so fine. So it sounds like over here what we have established is that the mincha is only going to be kosher if the levona is actively removed. If the levona cannot be removed, then aloch lemaisa the mincha is pasal. The Gemara now transitions to a different question. You just told me that while the Lavona is on the Mincha, if the person has a wrong Machshava, let's say he has Machshava to go ahead and what? He has Machshava to go ahead and eat it, Ben Chutzlis Mano, Ben Chutzlim Komo, Pasul, but no Karis. I don't understand. While the Lavona is on it, so then what? Any Machshava's Pasul should really be meaningless. Because we both say, at the end of the day, it's not a mincha right now. Right? So therefore, again, we both say, the good news of not being a mincha is what? That any wrongful mindset shouldn't have an impact. In other words, when that lavona is on it, that should be no different than if oil spilled on it. And if oil spilled on it, then what? If you had a machshava chutz lezman, oh, chutz lem komo, would it make a difference? Bless you. So to hear Rabbi say, when that lavona is on it, v'tehevi pach, it should be as if a jug of oil spilled on it, where the mincha is invalid, or even if you had a machshava to eat out of the prescribed area, out of the prescribed time, would invalidate the mincha. So to while the lavona is on it, any machshava's psul shouldn't have any impact. Vay my pasav machshava, dichoyhu. We'll say, essentially, while the frankincense, it's a good kasha, while the frankincense is sitting on the mincha, we'll say, what? The mincha is an invalid mincha. If it's an invalid mincha, the good news of being an invalid mincha, we'll say, is what? That no machshava should have the ability to invalidate it. Amrabai chatas kai rachmana. So Abai says, no, because the Torah calls it a chatas. Rav said, even while the lavona is on it, it's still called a chatas. Which Rav says, in the way of saying that, interestingly enough, even when the lavona is on it, it still has a carbonic identity. Because it has a carbonic identity, therefore what? An erroneous machshava has the ability to have an impact on it. Rav Amrava says, no. Whose opinion does this reflect? Chanan HaMitzrihu. This is Chanan HaMitzri. What does Chanan HaMitzri say? Delesle Dichuyin. Both say, so Chanan HaMitzri does not hold of the concept of Dichuy, does not hold of the concept of something being set aside for non-use. Tisanyo. Chanan HaMitzri, Omer, Afilu Dam, because maybe Chaveru Shol Bahar Gala. Bahagrol, it's using Umzaviglo. Because the Chanan HaMitzri is of the opinion by Yom Kippur that if you have the two seerim, right, they will say one goes La Azazel and one is shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say what happens if you shechted the one inside the Beis HaMikdash and the Azazel goat died. So we'll say, so the other opinion is that Rabbanon hold, you have to do the Hagrol, you have to do the lottery all over again and start. Chanan HaMitzri says, no, you don't have to. Rather, you go ahead and what? Yeah. Just bring another animal, La Azazel, and you are good to go. I will say, thereby keeping the kashrus of the cup of blood from the Seir LaHashem totally intact. We'll say what that means is Chanan HaMitzri does not hold to the concept of dichui. Dichui means something being set aside. He doesn't hold of that. Set aside for non-use. So Rabbi will say, apparently, again, he would hold, even in this case, where the mincha has the lavona on it, the mincha, even though you can't offer up the mincha in this state, it's not set aside for non-use, since it can be remedied. And therefore, Alocha L'maisa, a machshavas psul, will in fact go and invalidate. Rav Ashi Amar, Kol Shevet L'Havidichui. Rav Ashi says, no, it's more simple. We'll say, in this case, where the mincha could be remedied, where you have the ability to remedy it, it's not called Dichui. Amar Rav Ada, Kavaseh Rav Ashi Mistabra. Rav Ada says, it would appear that the position of Rav Ashi is very clear. The man Shem, is the Dichuyim, we'll say, who holds the concept of Dichui? Rabbi Hudihi, Shabi Huda Disnan. What Rabbi Huda says, that Halacha L'maaseh, if the Mishtaleach, or Nishpach Adam, if the blood of the Seir LaHashem spilled, you have to go ahead and let the Mishtaleach die, and you can't use it for the Avoda. Mesa Mishtaleach, if the Mishtaleach died, which was the Seir LaHazazel, Yishpach Adam, we have to pour out the blood of the Seir LaHashem. Vilu Heichad Debiyado Tanya Rabbi Huda, Vilu Heichad Biyado. You're able to say, in a case where you have the ability to remedy the situation, Tanya, we learned, Rabbi Huda Omer, Kos Hayam Memali Midama Ta'aroves, Vizarko Zrika Achas Keneget Hayisod. Ultimately, again, Abosa, yet we learned, listen, suppose we actually had this case before, but this will stop. This is Karan Pesach case. What did Rabbi Huda say in the case of Karban Pesach, Abosai? That what would you do? At the end, when everybody finished offering up their Karban Pesach, the Kohen would go ahead and take what? We would scoop up a cup of blood from the floor. He would pour that on the Mizbeach. Why, Abosai? Because in the event that for some reason, one of the Karbanos Pesach, which was, one of the Pesachim which was brought, did not have proper Zrika, he would collect a cup of blood, which was what? Representative of a composite of all of the blood from all of the sacrificial offerings, pour that on the Mizbeach, and ultimately that would remedy any of their karmas. What do you see from the Rabbi Osai? That even Rabbi Huda holds the concept of Dichui, holds that Halacha L'maaseh in a case where you could remedy the situation yourself, we don't say Dichui. Therefore, we'll say, circling back over here, that's why even when the Karban Mincha, when the Mincha Schote, has Lavona on it, the Lavona doesn't belong there, and it's not called the value. You can't offer it up until when? Until when? The Lavona is removed. Nevertheless, even when the Lavona is there, Rabbi Osai, then what? It doesn't totally lose its identity as a Lavona, or as a Mincha. Why not, Rabbi Osai? Why not? Because it's biyadi, because I have the ability to go ahead and remedy it. Which I will say, on hashkafic level, teaches us an incredible yisod as well. That even when something is broken, when you have the ability to fix it, it's not totally broken, right? Sometimes you don't have the ability to fix something, then it's in a total fundamental state of being broken. But l'mais again, even the Karban Mincha can't be offered up when the Lavona is there, but because it is biyadi to go ahead and be metakin it, therefore again, an erroneous machshava could still compromise the Karban. Only when it's not biyadi to fix it, ultimately, is the carbon totally removed from any type of sacrificial service. But in this case, because I can fix the mincha by removing the lavona, therefore, even a machshavas psul will have some level of impact. Right, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem. We're not finished with this, so we'll finish it tomorrow, Emirat Hashem. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. We'll say tomorrow, Wednesday's Rosh Chodesh. We begin at 5:45.